Ronnie and the pastor was talking. If I understand predestination at all, it's in that one verse in Romans 8:29. Now, if you don't turn there, turn to Psalm 65. But in that passage in Romans 8, a fellow's got a problem with verse 28. He hadn't seriously considered verse 29. And as Brother Barney was saying, if you're one of God's chosen, he has predetermined that you're going to be conformed to the image of his son. And contrary to the so-called charismatics, it ought to be a felony to call some of those matics charismatic. They don't know what charis is, but we thank God for it. That it's not being conformed to the image of God's Son is not standing in the bow of the boat commanding the elements and walking around slaying in another spirit and pronouncing healing, and those things are fine and wonderful, but the predestination God has predetermined, you be conformed to the images of his Son. That's loving obedience to the Father. Would you like to stand? Psalm 65. Now, I know this is a custom. I don't apologize for it. Sometimes my friend, my best friend Barney Bryant, sometimes he breaks custom. Like tonight, he didn't pray, brother, like we would anticipate he did. He will say, absolute sovereign God of the universe. We had a meeting one night, a gospel meeting, wound up being an evangelistic meeting. Some converts came out of that. It was a room that we still meet in. What is it? Half the size of this. Maybe 22 feet. Brother Barney had a stand every time, but we jam-packed in there one night. There was more black people there than there was white people. Brother Barney didn't have a stand up, and he explained the reason. He was afraid if we all stood up, there wouldn't be enough chairs for us all to sit back down. Some of them was jammed up with the little ones, and some of them was hanging over their chairs, so he very courteously didn't have us to stand. Are you there, Psalm 65, verse 1? Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer unto thee, shall all flesh come. And when you get through trying to interpret, relate that, it still means what it says. Iniquities prevail against me. And that's the problem, brother and sister, in our Christian experience. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy temple, even of thy holy temple. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, Brother Barney's already indicted me tonight, so I got to preach at least longer than 20 minutes. Psalm 65:4. Here's the blessed person, chosen. And if I was at some places, like I've been in a couple of places lately, I'd crow hop around. And most of y'all are not old enough nor cultured enough to know what crow hopping is. If you've seen a crow hop around, you know what I'm talking about. And I might spit the first, maybe even the second bench, calling on us to face this wonderful truth. Chosen in Christ. From before the foundation of the world. Now, it was an old fellow saved when I first was at MacArthur. I've been preaching there in the same little village since 1974. So many similarities, saints at Cheetah, so many similarities. And this old fellow was old. He was 64 years old. And God granted him repentance unto life. He got a big old blue, it wasn't a family Bible, just a big old blue extra giant print Bible, and he very proudly come in. He's a big guy. And we had started a study in the book of Ephesians, and we were zeroing in on verse 4. And that old boy, brand new convert, Soon as I got through, he said almost every time, right about where Brother Barney is, and he met me before I got both feet on the floor. He said, "You know, that is before he done anything, wasn't it?" Just as sure. Chosen. Any question? Now, I can't ask for comments because these people are full of it. They're two kind of preaching that make these guys want to preach. And I hope one of them ain't bad preaching tonight. I hope it's good preaching. The gift is stirred. So chosen. Chosen. I've had a couple of good flashbacks tonight going along in here. I remember a little old black-headed boy sitting over there, and he was investigating everybody. I didn't know he was not wanting to be a preacher, and God had it before ordained for him. And I remember him and a couple of pastors, three pastors, matter of fact. Then I remember a day Grandpa Lee and Daddy Lee came to me and wanted me to lead out in that ordination service. And they was uncomfortable, Brother Don, Grandpa and Daddy, going to ordain the grandson and son. They were just a little uncomfortable. That made it look a whole lot like family hand-me-down stuff. But it was not. And they quizzed me real close. And I told them, "Well, we'll do it. You have a public meeting, have it understood. We'll talk to him in the front of the congregation, and we'll say we acknowledge he's got the gift of priest and a heart for God and a mind for the Bible, and we'll lay our hands on him." And when the last amen said that day, every one of those fellas are disconnected from this local church. The church does not need a hierarchy. The church does not need a lowarchy either, you know, from down southeast Arkansas. So thank God for good memories, chosen in Christ. And I could take the rest of my 19 minutes just on that. But there's more in this verse. And this, my brother and sister, I preached this in a mission conference. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest." Now here's the phrase that really, really, really brings us to that place, Brother JT was praying about tonight. Caused. God caused us to come. And I've heard people say, and it's a quote from a couple of famous guys, when he come, he was kicking and squealing and yelling and looking for a place to go. That came to a point. But once the great spirit of a holy God, sovereign of the universe, draws you past that place and you quit running and you give up, I almost lost it. I forgot I got this. Hallelujah! Glory to God! What? That Messianic Psalm 110 about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I didn't change messages on you. I'm just a second point. Caused! He caused us to be willing. In the day of His power, we became willing. And really, brother, those old patriarchs had it right. And, you know, it ain't Presbyterianism, it ain't Baptistism, it's Bibleism. He caused us to come. And the clergy word is irresistible grace.
Right. Unquestionably.
If God doesn't draw you, you'll resist Him to your grave in hell. So you all say, "Oh God, I'll give up. I ceased struggling. I quit struggling. Oh God, please God. Don't let me die and go to hell."
Well,
it's serious.
Sure.
I had a dream last night. Me and our honorable President Trump was carrying on the conversation, and he got me off over there. This is just a dream now. I'm not trying to interpret it for you, but I prayed this: "Lord God," I've had one similar with not Billary, William Jefferson Clinton. And I don't ever expect to be in those audiences, people, but I want to be faithful with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if God has never gripped your heart, that you lost and you damned and you doomed and you deserve in hell, you ought to quit resisting, quit struggling, and say, "Oh God, I give up. I yield to you." You see, well, I'm getting ahead of myself and hadn't got good started yet, and I got 18 more minutes. Chosen, caused. I vividly remember preaching just this first part of this message here one Saturday night. I remember preaching it. I got a couple of nods out of that. What's next? Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Now, Brother Barney is a...
Watch out. I'm calling it illiterate.
A King James Est. Now, this is Old Testament from David to Israelites, Hebrews. But by inclusion, we included in. And by extension and application, I don't have any problem, and this represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we are, brother and sister. There in his court. Listen, I remember, brother, maybe. God, I was in jail. And I didn't come down here to tell on myself. Saturday night, Sunday morning, I paid my little fine. They can only hold you six hours for what they had me for, and I paid my little fine, and I was set free. Get Brother Barney to interpret, relate that to you. And the next week, my girlfriend, Jewel Lunsford, invited me to church. I had been running like Adam. I'd get under conviction, didn't know, and I'd run. I'd run, hide, duck and dodge, and blame somebody else. Blamed a couple of the hypocrites in the church. And she invited me to go to church. And Sunday morning, the preacher was just preaching away. And he said, "Oh, my Lord God, ain't nobody here want to be saved. You ought to be up here now." Shoo! I slid in over there right on my stomach. "I want to be saved," said the mother. "I want to be saved. I didn't want to die and go to hell." And the pastor got me up in front of the church, and those old people come by, sit back, and this is what they told me, and it's good advice for an old veteran. 75 years old, this is good advice to me tonight. Now they said, "You pray and you read your Bible." In the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. I'm a local church man. The reason I had the young Lees and the elder Lees to understand, it's over when we say the last one. Amen. That influence and authority from outsiders is over. We have it. Now last in this passage of Scripture, and I got two more. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts." Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
"We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple." I still run up on people once in a while that don't know if they're saved or not. And I quit beating around the bushes, Brother Don Johnson, and I tell them, "Well, just throw your Bible down in the pew and get in your truck and leave." Now, the professionals tell me that ain't the way to handle a poor fellow like that. But listen, I talked to Peggy Morgan's granddaughter. She saw me this morning. No, yesterday morning. Couldn't have been this morning. Yesterday morning. And came in the parking lot to me. And she's running from God and blaming everybody she can. And she came. And we talked a little bit. I said to Peggy Morgan's granddaughter, Chris and Julie's daughter, Tiffany, "You've preached to her." And I said, "Tiffany, are you happy and satisfied living in open adultery and sin like you're doing?" And she looked down. I said, "Have you ever been satisfied sitting in the church or worshiping God and enjoying the precious treasures in Christ? Have you ever enjoyed that? Have you ever been satisfied in your soul? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled." And she looked down again. Pray for her, Tiffany Morgan. Now listen to me. I'm gonna get off of this one and get on real personal with me and Brother Barney. If you're not satisfied, not sinning, and serving God, something's wrong. If church life is a heavy burden to you, holding you down from what's really you desire, something's wrong with you. Everything that you could desire, not to be compared with the wisdom that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We satisfied. We say, if you're not satisfied tonight, I hope you will be when you leave, that you have yielded your body, soul, and spirit to the Almighty God, come to His Son through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Satisfied. Psalm 90. Second passage, Psalm 90 and If I was going to go by my custom, I'd just have you go ahead and stand up while we read. But I won't. Psalm 90. Lord, I'm talking to you about the truth or half of the truth. If it's, where's the brother that wants me to give him a title every time? The truth or half of the truth? Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You say that louder, Brother Barney.
Thou art God.
Hallelujah. Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. Now, how hard to understand is that? And I read some commentaries from brainy guys, and they'll help you misunderstand it if you'll let them. Here's the way it is. God turned men of desire to destruction, put angels with flaming swords guarding that gate, and commanded man to return. Now, eventually you will. If you die in your sins and get put in the hole in hell, and called out of there to face your works like you think you want, and you judged according to your works, you're going to return right there in the front of Jesus Christ. Be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. That's not a little Sunday school fable. That is a blistering, sober, and sombering truth. You'll die in your sins and go to hell. Don't play with God. Don't play with this thing about coming to Jesus Christ. I had a little business deal with a fellow a while back. And right up in the middle of our business deal, and I quit trying to wait. It just come just right. And I said, I'm really wondering if you ever thought yourself to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He started blinking like a toad frog in a hailstorm. That's the picture I got. He said, I believe like they do down there where my wife goes. I said, how do they believe down there? He said, well, they believe in housetop salvation. I said, I done read the Bible a few times. I ain't never read about that. Oh, yes, it's in there. And I said, well, give me a little dose of it. He said, well, you don't have to worry about it. When the Lord comes, he'll just take you like, just snatch you right off the housetop. Not a real concern. I said, I hope they don't believe like that down there, because that was instruction to the Christian Jews. And here's the instruction to you. Except you repent, you're going to perish in your sins. And he made the most shocking statement to me that a man in the Bible belt buckle ever said to me. He said, oh, well, I may not be one of God's elect. I said, fella, you don't even want to go there. If you even had just a flicker of an idea that that might be truth, you'd already be down on your knees begging God to have mercy on you.
Yes.
That's what happens. Listen, one of my grandsons said to me, Paul, why did God let the devil get in the serpent and get in the Garden of Eden? I said, now that ain't going to work for you. Adam's already tried that. And he said, sir. I said, Adam's already tried to blame God for his sin. The woman thou gavest unto me to be with me. You can't blame God. You're not going to blame God. Listen, the command of God, yea, the demand of God and the demand of the Bible is repent. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name throughout the world. Praise God for that. God turned men aside destruction. Now, there's a balance. This balance, I'm striking this balance, the balance of truth. And then I'm going to go to, if you want to go ahead and go there, Matthew chapter 11. But I want to mention Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10. I brought this out last week at the Freeway Baptist Church. Pastor Peter Hudson, his wife, that he, well, he's another one of those fellows that married out of his class. I mean, we know about that, don't we, Brother Boy? Praise God for godly women. I know some preachers, a couple of them close to me, their wives struggle against them in the gospel ministry. That's tough. That's got to be tough, brother and sister. Anyway, here it is in Romans chapter 9. Anybody here don't know what's taught there? Jacob, before they was ever born, well, before they was ever conceived. Anyway, they had never done good or evil. God declared, Jacob I love, Esau I hated.
Uh-oh. What does
And it don't read, and I loved him less, with a lesser love. The Bible word is hate.
Yeah, the English word too.
That's the English word. We understand what hate is. Most of us really. I hated a fella long time, and I apologized to him, and he gave me a thorough good cussing. And I apologized to him. And he said, "You better stay out of my reach." But he wasn't hurting me. I'd apologize to him. God just took that to squeeze that little bit dab of that was still left in Carter out. I ain't never liked a fella cussing me. Anyway, that's another story. He shows mercy on who he will. Who he wills he hardened. When Moses would see the glory of God, that's part of it. He's a gracious God. Shows mercy on who he wills. Who he wills he hardens. Justifies. That by no means clears the guilty. But in chapter 10 of Romans, it comes out like this. Brethren, my desire and prayer to God for Israel, and put them together, my kinfolks and my countrymen, is that they'd be saved. And then he indicts them in a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For the Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And this is what I see there. God shows mercy on who he wills. Who he wills, he hardens. Fight against it, and then this comes this verse to you. Nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed him, why doest thou thus? Now he's the sovereign of his universe, galaxies and beyond that. He does as he wills in heaven and earth. No man can stay his hand or say, why doest thou thus? What do you think you're doing, God? And I could go into that, but I got to go, God commands us to go. Whichever way, as you go with the gospel. They are not commanded to come in here. We are commanded to tell them. Sometimes just say, anybody ever told you how good God is? And that's been over. You know what I've stopped? If Brother Lingerfeld was here, he said it again. I used to say, Sister Les, when my witness, I used to say, I found the Lord. That Monday morning I got out on the job, and an old seasoned veteran, old Floyd Green, he said, what are you doing in the front of the church yesterday? And I said, I found the Lord. I did. That was my experience. That's the reason. I love that old song, bro. I found the way, the gospel way, and it leads to life. Everlasting life in Jesus Christ. It don't hurt to tell somebody, God's been mighty good to me. It don't hurt to testify and say, you know, God is a gentle God. He's been extremely gentle with Peter Hutchison and Johnny Carter. Just ask God to open the door of utterance. And ask God to open our mouth. We may speak the gospel boldly and pray that God open their understanding hearts that they might understand. Now let's find that balance of truth in Matthew chapter 11. Did I tell you chapter 11? I hope I did, Matthew chapter 11. If I didn't, I'm going to tell you now. Verse 20. Then began he, this is Christ, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Are you looking at it? The truth or half the truth? God called, and God comforts and consoles. That's a illiterated, Brother Barney. Yeah, it's back down in there somewhere. Brother Barney's teaching me. See, I'm proving to him you can teach an old dog new tricks. Thank you, brother. And then God commanded every human being. You know, that thing is so firm and so solid, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No excuses before God Almighty.
Right.
And I told my grandson that. I said, you can quit trying to find an excuse. God's going to hold you responsible and accountable to Him.
Yes.
For your life and for your sins. Now God, Christ pronounces a woe on these three cities for this reason, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And I had three older brothers and two older sisters, so I have a legitimate reason for being a skeptic. Why didn't he go over there and do that? Now, he would. Some of them would come. And that's God's business, people. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Well, why didn't he, Brother Lee? That's God's business, Brother Lee. Brother Lee. Brother Lee. Sister Lee's. Let's just give up to God, right? And go with the gospel. Wherever you go. Now, sometimes, let me put this in. I'm trying to get through, Brother Barney. I don't reach your time limit. Sometimes the Lord does not have His word from you for them at that time. In Acts, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia Minor. They essayed to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they went over. Paul had a vision. A man said, come help us. And they went over there, and they started inquiring around. And I'm looking at my sweet sister here. This is in the face of any male chauvinist that might be among us tonight. He didn't find no men. You know where they were referred to? A few women down on the riverbank. And your stand in Jesus Christ is part of that woman's praying in self-defense. I got that from Dr. Campbell. A few women on the riverbank wanting to make prayer. A demonized girl and a jailbird. That might have been the start of one of the most spiritual churches in the Bible. Back to this. I said, all right. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Here's the reason. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. A woe was pronounced on three cities because they repented not. And at that time Christ thanked the Father that it's hid from those sophisticated hypocrites, well-tuned, fine, greased, oil, smooth-running religious machinery. And Christ is who he really is. The Son of the living God, hidden from them. But a few babes have their understanding open.
Wow.
Brother Jordan, it just seemed good to God to do that. That's the only explanation I found in the Bible. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God revealed Him to you. If you know God as your Father, Christ revealed Him to you. And the agency is the Holy Ghost. Now here's the revelation. And I promise you I'll close with this. Verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I hope you're at rest with God tonight and not still struggling against Him. I hope you ain't loaded down with churchianity. And I hope you ain't loaded down with all the preaching and politics and all this other stuff. I heard old McDonald say one night, some of this stuff reminded him of the insane asylum with the inmates in charge. Not just politicians, but all of it. If it's got you all twisted up in a surfeiting, just a dizzy spinning, come to Christ. He promised rest. Come to Him. That yoke is not bondage.
Right.
It's liberty.
Liberty.
control.
Yes.
Brother Barney and I were talking earlier today. We pray. Why would I need to pray, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil? Why would I need to pray like that? Because I've proven to myself I can't handle it. Therefore, I need him.
Yes.
We will not be so burdened, dear people, with sheep.
Yes.
And they don't load sheep down with a heavy load. That's for jackasses. Sheep. Just dumb sheep. With a great, caring sheep shepherd. Master shepherd. Great shepherd. Chief shepherd. Brother Barney could preach that a month. The great shepherd. Let's pray. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it. You've never really, really wanted to follow him as a servant. Will you come to him? Just be honest with him. You can't wish your way in. You can't think your way in. It reads like this, dear sinner. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you, Lord, for your great, great promises, sovereign promises from a sovereign God. And we thank you for it. Thank you for the mind to comprehend, the heart and the will to obey you. Thank you for this church that prayed this meeting and got us in here to preach. Pray for Brother Don as he comes to preach to us. Open our understanding that we might hear and see in Jesus' name. Amen.